Welcome to another episode of Power Trip with Stephen Michael. I am Stephen Michael. So, I want to talk about racism in America again. My area of focus is America. My apologies to any international listeners that I have. I don't really know a lot about racism in other countries, although I'm sure it can be pretty bad in some places. But here in America, we have a problem of white denial, where no amount of evidence is ever good enough to supply to white people that racism is still a thing. I had a gentleman on the internet yesterday, and I argued with him even a little bit today. He was basically stating that no example of systemic racism, no valid example of systemic racism has ever been provided, ever, in his eyes. So I started throwing articles at him. I was like, well, here's an article that, you know, black children aren't given the same amount of pain meds as white children. Here's another article that shows that even medical professionals, white medical professionals in America, are under a false belief that black people feel less pain than white people. Now, this isn't taught in medical school. There's no medical school that teaches that black people feel less pain. So these were beliefs that they walked into medical school with, and they walked out of medical school with, and never changed their opinions. I can't fathom how a medical professional could do that. The good news, if you want to call it that, is that they showed that in the study that medical professionals who didn't walk into medical school with these biases didn't treat illnesses any differently. So there was that. It basically boiled down to people with racial biases treated black people differently. Well, who'd have thunk it, right? I mean, evidence is there. This isn't a secret. So I showed him that. I kept throwing things at him. Like, well, here's this article, and here's this article. And he just came back with just, this isn't good enough. Like, he needs, like, what do you need, dude? Like, you need to see video conferences of white people in meetings planning and plotting and trying to, like twirling their handlebar mustaches, laughing maniacally, demanding $1 billion. What is it you need? It doesn't have to be planned for it to be a problem. For it to be a problem, it has to be a problem, one, but two, it has to have nobody trying to fix it. I mean, when I say that there's evidence that black people are being mistreated in the medical professions, in medical facilities across America, that's something we should try to fix. Now, I don't look at it as some doom and gloom, we can never fix it thing, but it won't be fixed if we all keep denying it that it exists. Why deny it? Does it make you feel better to go to sleep at night thinking that everybody's equal and all things the same, and if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps cliches, that everything's all good? Then he tried to argue, well, that, you know, there's not just white doctors. Well, of course there's not white doctors. There are other doctors out there. There's black doctors and Indian doctors and Asian doctors. But I had to then go and get the percentages for them. And like, there was like 10,000, just in the year 2015, there was more than 10,000 white graduates from medical schools. And about 3,000-ish, almost 4, like 3,800 or something like that, of Asians that had graduated medical school in America. So more than 10. Versus more than 3, I don't even know if that's worth mentioning. That's still majority white, and it really kind of doesn't matter. It still doesn't disprove that black people are treated differently. And mind you, that was just the 2015 records. You know, that's just 2015. Most medical professionals in the industry today didn't graduate in 2015. They graduated 10 years ago, 20 years ago, when the numbers were even more skewed. You know, when there were even more white people versus other races graduating from colleges. So, you know, there's still a ton more white people in the medical field treating black people differently. Now, can racism come from other people that aren't white? Sure. But that doesn't change the statistical analysis. It doesn't change that black people are treated differently because they're black. Why is that so hard? Okay, so now we've established the problem. Well, how do we fix it? Well, one, we have to stop these people who, for some reason, falsely believe that black people feel less pain. That's number one. Number two, we have to start actually penalizing people for doing stuff like this. The problem is, it's also very difficult to prove. I even showed him the name discrimination thing, where people with black-sounding first names were less likely to receive callbacks on resumes. You know, when you're a black person and you're submitting resumes, it's very difficult to prove on a one-on-one basis that you're this one black person submitting your resume to different jobs and you're in, you know, in the area. How are you to know, you know, from one resume submission that you didn't get a call because of your name? You don't know that. You can't prove it anyway. But when the statistics come out and they show that these that this is the case, this is really happening. There are white people out there who, when they see that name, they just toss that resume to the side and they find a guy named Robert and they give him a call. So it's very difficult to prove. When they do prove it, a lot of times the company might receive some sort of financial penalty from the government. They might be fined or something like that. But usually, the people involved, the person who actually saw the resume, nothing happens to them. They don't go to jail. They're not fined individually. It's just the company. So we don't really have any real solutions to any of the systemic racism problems that we have in America. I mean, look at the police. When the police are caught doing things, what happens to them? They get a paid vacation. For example, a few years back, a black man was not pulled over. He was on foot. But he was stopped by police. They asked him to get down on the ground, and he did. He got down on the ground, but he didn't do it fast enough in the cop's eyes, so the cop kicked him in the face. He was doing exactly as he was told, and he was doing it slowly, which is what some people say you're supposed to do. Very slowly, get down on the ground. The ground was wet, by the way, so like that must have been unpleasant for him. But he still did it, and the cop still kicked him in the face, broke the guy's jaw. He needed reconstructive surgery. That's a real thing. It really happened. So you would think, okay, are we going to arrest this cop? Well, yeah, the guy assaulted a man. And by the way, the black dude hadn't committed a crime. So, but the cop, he didn't get arrested, number one. He didn't even get fired. He didn't get fired, number two. And then three, because he was an embarrassment to the force, they pretty much just paid him to retire. He was like, here's some money, please retire. Here's all your pension, it's all yours. So the cop got away scot-free. Why would he get away with that? Because we don't have a system in place to deal with that sort of thing. So black people are assaulted by police. It's caught on camera. The guy is guilty of sin, but he walks away. That's the problem. We shouldn't be allowing people to get away with that stuff. You know, that's why it's systemic. The racism itself is not, like, nobody, I really doubt this. Okay, I doubt it. I doubt that the chief of police called this guy ahead of time and said, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you go rough off some black people? I really doubt that ever happened. Okay, that's the kind of systemic racism I think white people are looking for, though. They want there to be some sort of plan, some sort of blueprint, some sort of writing. But that's not what it's about. It's about the fact that there is no punishment for the actions after they're taken. They just get away with it. They walk away. And what do you think that does? It makes the police feel indestructible. And so when there's no penalty, right? That's what makes it systemic, is basically my point. All right? And when you see that there is systemic racism, like, for example, the Stop and Frisk program in New York, which I've mentioned in past recordings, which was implemented in a racist way, and then, you know, people say, well, let's expand that program. Well, that means you're expanding racism. So that makes you racist. Like, you don't have to hate black people to be racist. You just have to treat them like they're not human beings. When you say it's okay to treat black people differently because they're black, I mean, the definition of racism is this superiority thing, but you just said you're willing to treat black people differently because they're black. Guess what? That implies that you feel superior to them. You don't actually have to say the words out loud, I feel superior. You don't have to say that. It's not necessary. There are implications. We can extrapolate from all the other things you say and do to come to the conclusion that you are racist, even if you never use the N-word, never put on a Klan costume, never say that you're superior. The fact of the matter is, when you say that it's okay to treat black people this way, then yes, you're racist. Let's move on to money. Everybody loves money. I know I do. I could use a little bit more. But money, because a black person has it, does not mean that they never experienced any racism. It also doesn't mean the racism doesn't exist. I see that sometimes. Well, look at Beyonce. She's filthy, snake, and rich. How can racism be a problem so long as there's rich black people? And I've joked around, oh, I guess racism isn't a problem as long as 0.00001% of black people find fame and fortune. That means racism hasn't gone away. We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key
and that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
Hey everybody out there in Radio Land, this is Pistol Raw from Smushmap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio. But that seems to be their mentality, that so long as black people have some money, that racism can't be a thing. But that's ridiculous. So I have to kind of go back to a complaint, because another gentleman, like, I don't know. What is the obsession with 100% that so many white people seem to have? And when I say 100%, what I mean is they just can't let go of these exceptions. So a few black people achieve fame and fortune. So a few black cops have abused their authority. So a few black doctors may have done something wrong. They're the exceptions, and I would never deny that they exist. But the exceptions aren't disproving the rule. Why is it you need everything to be 100% to believe that something is a problem? You know, when we hire exterminators, right, to spray around our houses for insects and other various creatures that can get into our homes, we know that that's never going to stop 100% of the insects that can get into our homes. I mean, it would be crazy to believe that any work we do will stop 100% of bugs from getting into your house. But you still do it, don't you? Yeah, because you know it's the majority that matters here. You know that you're going to do a pretty good job of getting the vast majority of the insects out of your home by doing this. And a few exceptions you just have to live with. All right? That's just the way it is. You can't live by 100%. You don't say, well, if I can't get 100% of the bugs out of my house, I'm not even going to bother paying for this. Of course you wouldn't say that, because it would be stupid. Racism is essentially a white person issue. It was created by white people in America. Does racism exist other places? Sure. But I live in America, and I'm dealing with American politics. And in America, white people created these problems. Black people didn't create this. Black people didn't say, let's create whites-only water fountains, whites-only lunch counters, whites-only bathrooms. They didn't say that. This was a white people thing. Black people aren't in charge of HR. They're not the ones discriminating against black people based on their names and on their resumes. This is a white people thing. Stop pretending like just a few exceptions that are out there like make it okay for white people to do all that stuff. So, the money thing. White people really want black people to be so grateful to them for having money. Have you seen this thing with the kneeling football players and how some of them are like, oh, they're making millions of dollars. How dare they complain? How dare they complain about racism in America? How dare they disrespect America? But where are you from that seeing black people be murdered and assaulted by a justice system that doesn't care about them makes it okay because you have a decent paycheck? Where do you get that from? Is there some holy book I haven't read a scripture in that says that it's okay to forgive the sins of others so long as you make some money? Is that out there somewhere? You know, if someone has money, they have a voice. And with that voice, they choose to put it out there and say something. They should be doing it. I would expect more people with money to do it. Of course, when they do it, I understand they take a big, big risk, because some of them are going to lose endorsement deals because they're going to make angry white people everywhere. But if they do it, they're taking a stand. It's something to respect. I mean, they're showing their hand. Like, this is me. I'm going to say that this is wrong. And they're going to make a lot of white people angry about it, because white people feel that everything that's white encapsulates everything. Patriotism is whiteness, because they're saying there's something wrong with America, and white people are taking it personally. You can't just admit, oh yeah, you're right, there is something wrong with America. Because they're attacking our whiteness. So therefore, we attribute that whiteness to patriotism. And that's what real hardcore racists do, by the way. They dress up racism as patriotism in order to get the white moderate on their side. And it's been working for decades. If you can make it about the red, white, and blue, well, you're going to get the white moderate, no problem. You know, and that's why I've pointed out in the past, it took some very ugly photos during the civil rights era. I'm talking, you know, with the attack dogs and the fire hoses and the assaults and the murder. It was a lot of photos and videos being spread out across American media to really get the white moderate on the side of people who were trying to end racism in America, prejudice and discrimination. It wasn't like a 2-minute thing. It took years. You know, and they had to fight that patriotism angle that racists would try to espouse. So, The things that are wrong with America are, in my opinion, fixable. Are they fixable overnight? God, no. This is going to take time, all right? And it's not going to be easy. We're going to have to fight against a lot of stupid people about what it is we need to change and how we change it. And a lot of it is going to boil down to some politics, some voting, government actually, you know, putting in some laws that state that when a police officer, you know, does something to someone, that there actually will be a penalty for it. You know, I get being a cop is hard. You never know when someone's going to harm you. I get that. I get it. I mean, I don't get it because I've never been a cop, but I get that. I understand the basic premise that it's not easy, but that doesn't give a cop the right to kick a man who's cooperating in the face. And I don't care. I mean, that cop should have gone to jail. No matter how hard it is, if he's following instructions, he's getting down on the ground as instructed. He's doing everything he can to not scare this police officer. But in the end, it was never good enough. You know, and that cop kicked him right in the face. And you'll get some white people out there who will try to defend that. Well, you know, it doesn't matter if he's black. The cop would have kicked him in the face no matter what color he is. That's a lot of speculation, because the fact of the matter is, evidence suggests, and the study suggests, and everything that I've ever seen suggests that people in authority do not treat black people with respect. And police officers have a lot of authority provided to them, and again, because there's no penalty for doing it, they are more likely to be rude, they are more likely to be physical, they are more likely to kill unarmed black people in America. The studies are being done. Now, I want to talk about that just for a brief moment. Studies in America, when it came to this particular subject of police officers harming Americans, were never really done before. The FBI had been collecting the data for years, but guess what? The data was skewed because a lot of precincts and towns and townships all over America were not participating. It wasn't required of them. It was not mandatory. So any information provided before, I don't know, let's say 2014, pretty much worthless. And you're not going to get data quickly. You know, even if you do begin the study like The Guardian did, that it takes time to amass all of that information. And believe it or not, there's no there's no scanner picking up every crime in America. Not everything's caught on video. Not everything's seen. Not everything's heard. They have to scour newspaper articles from town to town all over the country. Not everything makes national news media. I know that's hard to understand in today's day and age when it seems like everything is national news in like 2 minutes, but that's not the way it is. There's a lot of small towns out there with their own small town papers, and they report their own little local news, and they never hit national headlines. And it's very difficult to obtain that information unless you subscribe to every paper. Some of the articles that the Guardian collected were submitted by readers because they live in those small towns, and they were able to send them clips and stuff. So it's not just some like wide-tooth comb that they're able to spread across America and pick up all these little things. So a lot of the information out there is not easy to come by. They have been correlating it and gathering it together, and The Guardian's been presenting it little by little, and they've been showing that when it comes to unarmed individuals, black people are suffering more than any other ethnic group in the country. It is disproportionate. Now, I say unarmed intentionally. You know, even when it's armed, it's still skewed more towards black people. But when you take into account unarmed, it's skewed even more. I think that's a very important distinction. So, all right. So that was what I wanted to talk about with the study. So I want to get back into the whole worthiness thing. So white people seem to want black people to shut up or leave. They want them to either, you know, if you don't like it, go back to Africa is the argument I'm seeing, which, you know, when Barack Obama was president and you guys would just do nothing but complain about every little thing he did, including the clothes he weared, including the clothes that his wife weared. I mean, you guys would just tear him to pieces about everything. Did anybody tell you if you didn't like it, go back to Europe? No. No, even when George Bush was president, and I was complaining about his presidency, George W., by the way, I had conservatives tell me, if you don't like it, get out. Like, is that really your response to any kind of criticism? Why is it you consider your ideas and your politics to be the American way, but when someone else is in office, like, for example, Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, or just anybody that's not a Republican, when you complain, nobody tells you to get out, but that's your first argument. And I got to tell you, when Barack Obama won the presidency, that was actually one of the first things I told somebody. Like, I'd been waiting years to say this to a Republican. If you don't like it, get out. It was a lot of fun for me. But now, with black people protesting a little bit more about the injustices that they face, I'm seeing it, like, nearly daily. That if you don't like it, get out of the country. So basically what you're saying is, even though they've built a life here, they've built a foundation, they have family, friends, employment, a home, whatever, your solution is, rather than be murdered by a police officer who's feeling a little itchy that day, just to get out of the country. So they're just going to pick up all their stuff and move, just so that you, the white person, don't have to, one, I guess, listen to any of the complaints that they have, and two, do anything to rock the boat, to change the status quo in America, that just simply states that we want anyone who commits a crime to go to jail like they're supposed to do. You know, and that's another thing. When black cops have killed white people, guess what happened to those black cops? They ended up in jail. Because that's what's supposed to happen. But when white cops kill black people, man, we're all holding our breath wondering what's going to happen. And a lot of times they get away scot-free. And it's not just one or two cases. It's case after case after case. You know, I'm really worried about this Walter Scott case down in South Carolina. I don't know what's going to happen. I would hope that that cop goes to jail for the rest of his life. But I don't have any confidence in that. Our justice system sees white cops as the victims in every scenario. You know, I don't think that every white cop is bad, and someone else tried to use that accusation on me earlier, not long ago, that when I complain about cops, do I think every cop is bad? Well, what I think is that when a white cop is bad, he doesn't go to jail. That's what I think. And so where are his good cops to arrest him when he commits a crime? They're nowhere to be seen. That's my issue. And when cops do try to come down on corruption and violence and just anything they're doing wrong, a lot of times those cops end up getting fired or moved to a different precinct or something like that. The system is not set up to protect the citizenry from bad people. And so therefore it's difficult for me to have any compassion about this for any cop that I see commit a crime, and I'm supposed to feel sorry for him because now he's in national media, or he's giving cops a bad name. I don't know. Where were his cop buddies to arrest him when he kicked that dude in the face? His partner watched him do it, and nothing happened to him. Like, his partner didn't say, like, hey, you shouldn't do that, you know? No, this cop buddy just sat there and watched. And this is what I mean. Like, there's no oversight. And we can catch it all on video. And the media will ask, you know, the chief of police or whoever's in charge and just be like, you know, so what are you guys going to do about this cop that did this? And they'll say something like, well, there's an ongoing investigation that we can't comment. And that investigation will take months, maybe even a couple years. I wish I was joking, but I'm not. It takes forever for any kind of justice to be done. And it's all on video. What more do you need to see? You know, what kind of investigation has to be conducted for something that we all witnessed? So, this is all very confusing to me as to why this is so hard to understand. If people would go to jail, be punished, or even just fired for doing what they did, but they get desk duty, or they'll get paid leave, which they say things like, it's standard for when a cop is involved in a shooting, it's standard operating procedure for them to get paid leave during the investigation. So what if it's standard operating procedure? We caught it on video of a man being shot in the back down in South Carolina. What's to investigate? There's nothing to investigate. They arrest his ass, put him in jail. You know, but then the unions get involved, and I'm a union supporter, but when it comes to the union, police unions, they're there to make sure that criminals get away with whatever the hell it is they did. That's not what they should be there for. They should be there to make sure that the wages are fair, they get good paid time off, and maybe a retirement plan, and that they're not overworked. I mean, they should be there to protect them from that kind of stuff. But when someone commits a crime, the union should be cutting their losses. To me, this isn't even controversial. You know, like, how is it controversial to suggest that a police officer, when they have abused their authority, be punished? How is that controversial? And so we'll say, you know, so someone will say, well, do you think all cops are bad? Well, all I know is that I'm not seeing any good cops arresting any of the bad cops. That's what I'm saying. And I don't see how that's hard to understand. Where are the good cops to arrest the bad ones? And so, you know, all right. So it's a little difficult for me to wrap my brain around the mentality that black people should be grateful for any success they find in America and stop complaining about the brutalities and injustices that they see. I can't figure that out. That seems to be the attitude a lot of white people have. Be grateful that black people aren't being treated worse. Who came up with that idea? Basically, what you're saying is that racism is a thing and they should just learn to live with it. And I don't... And to me, that makes you racist. See, I laugh not because I think it's funny, but because it's ridiculous. You know, racism isn't funny. It's not. It's you know, this is... We will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key powerful.
And that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
Hey everybody out there in radio land, this is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio. Racism affects lives. Affects black lives. I mean, don't you care about the black people that you claim to have in your life? Don't you care about what happens to them? You know, aren't you worried? You're going to say something like, well, no, my black friends are the good black friends. Whatever the hell that means, you racist piece of garbage. So, yeah, I mean, you can find cases of, it doesn't matter. I mean, black people have been pulled over by police, committed no crime, and still got the shit beat out of them. It's not a matter of being good or not. It's a matter of these cops not facing any kind of penalties for whatever it is they do. Or they'll, like I said, they'll get desk duty or pay time off. It's weak. So when a black professional, a football player, anyone, tries to protest the injustices of America, you know, white people are taking it personally. They're burning jerseys. They're burning their paraphernalia that they've bought because football was so important to them. And now they're burning it because they're seeing it and they're taking it personally. A football player's criticism of the injustices of America, the injustices of a judicial system, you took it personally. So what does that say about you? Why are you taking it personally? I mean, do you really think it reflects on you? Okay, maybe it does. But now you're angry at the wrong person. You should be angry at yourself. Because you're not doing anything about this. You're so content with the way things are. You don't want to change anything. You don't want to rock the boat. You don't want to change the status quo. You don't like being criticized. You don't like that any success you've achieved is because, well, in part anyway, that you're white. I mean, sure, there are white poor people in this country, but they're not poor because they're white. They're poor because they're poor. Black people in America, for decades, were poor in the United States because white people wouldn't let them not be poor. They wouldn't let them have money. They refused to give them decent wages for work. And then decades passed, and things have gotten a little better. I'm not going to lie to you. Things have improved. You know, black people are starting to, you know, there's more and more in colleges all the time. You know, but they're still not seeing their wages go up. The wage gap is still there. So the wage gap is still there, even though they're getting educated at a higher rate. They're still having their names ignored by employers. They're still being treated differently by doctors and police. Pretty much anybody in authority. Even like retail security treat black people differently. I mean, there's been lawsuits of retailers because, you know, their security got a little rambunctious and decided to follow some black people outside the store, even though they paid for all their stuff. You know, they paid with a credit card, and the security guards couldn't believe that a black person had a credit card and decided to just go after them. I mean, and then they sued and they won that lawsuit. And to some white people, they would consider that lawsuit won working against racism. That's not a solution, especially to a large retailer like Macy's or whatever the hell. That's a drop in the bucket of the money they make. You think they really care about losing that? I mean, sure, they have their attorneys there and everything, but at the end of the day, they're going to have a sale and they're going to make all that money back. So, and again, what happened to the security guard? Is he in jail? No. Of course not. He got himself another job. He's fine. So you see what I'm saying about the punishment aspect? Like, it's just not there. And and I don't want to, I mean, dealing with racism after the fact is obviously something that we want to do, but we also don't want to have it to begin with. You know, by stating that there is an individual punishment for your racism, you know, whether it be name discrimination or assault by a police officer or a security guard who, we will be right back to Power Trip on KZTL.
Dare for Greatness with Kevin Wayne Johnson, the visionary, author, pastor, and dynamic speaker.
Don't accept mediocrity.
Certified under John Maxwell's international team, Kevin Wayne Johnson will teach you how to reach for greatness and aspire to be the best. Contact Kevin Wayne Johnson to speak at your business or event, showing his 15 laws of growth for maximum success.
Everyone can communicate, but only a few can connect. Let me show you how to connect.
Welcome to Skyhound. While most UAV companies are run by RC hobbyists, we are professionals in aviation, expanding with this new and exciting technology to better serve you, our customers. With our diverse fleet of unmanned aerial vehicles, we are able to offer a wide range of customizable services. Our services include, but are not limited to, real estate. Skyhound offers aerial photography and videography that will add a competitive edge to luxury listings. 3D modeling. Skyhound enables a project manager to properly manage their sites from the comfort of their office or home. Farming and wildlife conservation. Skyhound not only provides aerial videography and photography, but infrared imagery as well. This method aids farmers in differentiating water level disparities underneath the soil, thus enabling safer and efficient management of the crop's life cycle. So, what are you waiting for? Discover how Skyhound can offer you and your clients a different perspective about your business or product. Contact us today for a free consultation.
Tammy Grant is the CEO of Creative Expressions Picture Video Service. She helps business owners promote their products and services.
Three key
and that is through videography promotion, social media marketing, and web design services. In addition, they specialize in servicing speaking professionals, startups, and small businesses.
Hey everybody out there in radio land, this is Pistol Raw from Smushnap Inc. and the 8416 MGM Company LLC. I just need a couple of seconds of your time. I got a couple of questions for you. Are you tired of hearing radio playing the same 10 songs in a row over and over again? Are you tired of more commercials than music? Do you find the topics that really matter to you aren't being covered by your mainstream talk radio? Well, if you love music and being on top of the current events as much as I do, you've answered yes to all of these questions. Now, what is the solution? I got you. Tune in to KZTLRadio.com, the 24-hour internet radio, the answer to the blah blah of mainstream. And not just for music, for sports, comedy, talk radio with no barriers, and with music that doesn't require a 10-song rotation playlist. Look, your ears deserve to hear what you want, not what mainstream wants you to hear. Just jump on any laptop, iPad, or anything with internet access, type in KZTLRadio.com, hit search, and let your ears feel the bliss of free-range radio. That's KZTLRadio.com, the true alternative to mainstream radio, for sure. Don't forget, KZTLRadio.com, and tell them P. Raw sent you.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael, and you are listening to Power Trip on KZTL Radio. Or a security guard who took too much initiative. You know, there should be a penalty. It shouldn't just be, oh, you get to walk away, you know, live to do this again another day. It's a little insane to me. I get it that this is not easy to wrap, to fix, you know, short term. But there should be penalties. And black people have every right in the world, no matter how much money they make, no matter how much success they've achieved, no matter, and that's another thing. Like some white people will criticize black celebrities because a lot of their money has been achieved because they've sold their products to white people, and white people just want them to be grateful. How dare they take our money and still complain about injustices? How does that not sound racist to you? You're basically stating, I'm going to put my foot on your throat, but I'm going to pay you so you can't complain about it. That's still a problem. I'm white, and I'm speaking out for the injustices of black people to the best of my ability. I am not an expert. I have no college degree in this subject matter. I have no work experience in this. To me, it's just A to B to C. It's all very logical to me. Other people may disagree, but on the details. But racism didn't go away just because we passed a few laws in 1960s. It's still a thing to this day because white people are still racist. I get that we have perpetuated a belief system, especially through Hollywood, that racism has to be some overt thing where you have to be in a Klan costume and burning a cross on someone's front lawn. But that's not the benchmark that we should be using for this. Racism is more about the way it impacts lives, more so than just some moron burning a cross somewhere. These people who burn crosses, when they get done, they take off the Klan robes, they put on their suits, and they go to work. They're your judges, they're your doctors, they're your attorneys. What do you think these people do when they're not at these Klan rallies? Do you think they're all just in some field somewhere, toiling soil, minding their own business? Like, that's always been an absurd notion to me, that racism somehow ends the moment they take off the robes. They just go home and get in bed with their wife and go to work the next day and treat everybody the same. Why would you think that's even a remote possibility? All right, so then the next notion is, well, their numbers are so small. Well, they're not all that small, number one. Number two, ever since Barack Obama became president, even like from the day he was elected, hate groups started increasing in numbers all around the country. They organize. They organize, and they want their people in power, and they try to make it happen. They call them secret societies for a reason. This isn't just stuff I'm making up. They're not just sitting around drinking beer. They actually do a little bit of planning. And I know I was talking earlier about, like a conference room filled with white people twirling their mustaches. But they do try to get themselves in places of power, and they help each other to accomplish that. The racism doesn't go away just because it's Tuesday. No, they're still using their own biases against other people. And that's just the ones who are really, really racist. Then there's the ones who don't realize they're so racist, like the ones who maybe just pass on a resume because they didn't like the name, or maybe it's because they do actually genuinely believe that black people feel less pain or whatever. They don't think they're racist because they have these weird beliefs that don't make any sense, and it just causes them to treat people differently. I'm rambling a lot because I didn't really plan ahead on this one. I wanted to talk about a lot of things because the past week has just been all over the place. I've been talking to a lot of people online, and they're just making ridiculous arguments, and they're hard to argue against because they're so ridiculous. Like, why does it matter how much money the football players make if injustice is still real? Why does it matter if Beyonce makes $1 billion a year if, again, a black person is still murdered by a white police officer and the police officer still gets away with it? How does that matter at all? Is Beyonce just supposed to be so grateful to you that you downloaded one of her songs that she's never supposed to say anything about any of the injustices in America? I don't understand your mentality. I mean, when you see that a black person who's famous is criticizing the injustices in America, and you take it personally, you need to start realizing that maybe, just maybe, the reason you're taking it personally is because you're starting to see how whiteness is involved in this, how your whiteness, how your lack of any effort on your part is actually helping to perpetuate these problems. When a house is on fire and you do nothing, you don't even call 911, you just sit there and watch it burn, do you really think that you didn't contribute to the problem? I mean, sure, you may not have lit the match, but you were sitting there and you watched it go down and you did nothing. Now, if that was you, if that was your home that was on fire, and you found out that your neighbors saw your houses on fire and did nothing, wouldn't you be furious? I mean, we expect as a society that we are supposed to help one another at least meet the most basic of needs, whether it be to call 911 for your neighbor or actually apply some sort of physical aid when needed. But when it comes to black people in America, they don't really get any assistance from white people on a one-on-one basis. White people consider things like welfare and other, you know, governmental assistance to be the assistance. And that's not what we're talking about, because everybody gets that. White people get that. Black people get that. Asian people get that. What I'm talking about, when we see these injustices, we have to stand up and shout from the rooftops that this is wrong. We need changes. We need penalties for the people who do these things. This isn't arbitrary stuff. This is very real. I sigh because I get a little frustrated talking to white people about this stuff. Yeah, the stuff they say to me, it's like you're all reading from the same playbook. You want black people to be grateful. There are exceptions. You always bring up the exceptions. It doesn't. So I'll keep trying. I'm not going to stop. You know, I hope I have successfully educated a couple white people here and there about how wrong they are about some basic stuff. Some of it's a challenge. No matter how much evidence I provide, they still want to argue and say things like both sides do it, which is ridiculous. You know, it's 100,000 versus 100. You know, you can't say both sides do it when the numbers are that skewed. If it was 50-50, you know, I guess, maybe. But just because you find a few exceptions, it doesn't change anything. So, I apologize for my ramblings. I was a little all over the place. I want white people to stop with this whole gratefulness argument, because black people have every right in the world to be upset when they see their brothers and sisters being slaughtered by cops for no reason, regardless of how much money they make. They have every right in the world to complain about it, to take a knee during the national anthem, because they're not seeing any real action being taken by their government to help them. Yeah. So, hopefully I got through on that one. If anybody has any further points, feel free to comment. But I think this will be the last thing I say.